Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I am so excited to be sharing this morning. Now, last time I spoke was about a month ago, and I shared about how I was made redundant from my sales role. And what would follow would be 12 months of applying for over 1,100 jobs and getting no breakthrough. But what I didn't share was a prayer that I was praying throughout that entire time. It was a prayer that helped me in my low moments. Because how many of you know when you've been rejected over 1,000 times, it starts to grate on your soul a little bit. And this was my prayer. It was, Lord, I want you to close every single door you want closed. And I want you to open the one door you want open. Lord, I want what you want. I want to be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. And a lot's changed since then. And I'm going to share a little bit about that later on. But in the meantime, what do you do when there's an area of your life that doesn't seem to move? What do you do when you've prayed? You've confessed the promises of God. You might have even fasted. And still there's no breakthrough. Now those things aren't bad. They have their place. But what do you do when there's an area of your life and it's been months? For some of you, it's been years. It may be an area where you're believing for a loved one to come to know the Lord. And it seems like since you started praying, that person has gone further away from Jesus than what they were when you first started. You might have been believing for a spouse for a long time. I know what that feels like. With every year that passes, it actually doesn't get easier. Is there a scripture? Is there a passage in the Bible we can feed on and glean on and lean in on that will speak to our situation? Oh, there are many. There are many. I'm going to look at one this morning. If you're taking down notes, the title of this message is Waiting in the Waiting. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Here we have a situation, and it's two sisters, and their brother is sick, and he's not getting better. And they send a prayer request to Jesus, and it's an urgent prayer request for a number of reasons. The one closest to them is sick. Moreover, not only is the one closest to them under threat, but their main source of income is also in jeopardy. Because back in those days, the man was the breadwinner. He was the main source of income. Lazarus has gone down. He hasn't worked for weeks. This is a big deal. And I can just imagine the conversation between Martha and Mary as they send the prayer request to Jesus. He's healed so many. He's healed the woman. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? He healed her. Remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? He healed him. Remember the 10 lepers? He healed them. If he did it for them, he can do it for us. And don't we say that as Christians? We say that. We see other people getting their manifestation. We see other people getting their breakthrough, and we think, if he did it for them, he can do it for us. And there's no doubt that God wants to move in our lives. But what if he wants to move a different way? Are we open? Is there room in our theology to believe that he wants to move a different way? And so 2 days passes, and you can imagine the conversation now has shifted. Lazarus is critical. Conversation has changed to, does he know our situation? Has he heard? Is he coming? Does he care? And whatever the Lord had decided to do, it would bring glory to his name. So Father, right across this place, Lord, you are bringing up areas in people's lives that you have already decided on. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be inclined to believe and know that however you move, Lord, it will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So Lazarus' situation gets worse. It goes from critical, now it's fatal. He died. He actually died. The main source of income is dead. The way they expected him to move is dead. And they are mourning. They are grieving for 4 whole days. And then finally, Jesus arrives. Let's pick it up at verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So good. She comes to Jesus and she approaches Jesus with what might have been. And understandably so. Of course there's disappointment. They've been mourning for 4 days. And the Lord gently brings her to a place where she can believe in him for who he is more than how he moves. And when you come to a place where you believe in him for who he is more than how he moves, your eyes are open to how big our God is. He can move mountains. He can raise the dead. Your eyes are open to the bigness of God. And all of a sudden, there's a flexibility around how he's going to move in your life. But he still doesn't move. He does something very interesting. He calls for Mary. Let's keep on reading. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Two sisters, both approach Jesus saying the same thing. One moves him. The Bible says when Mary saw him, the Greek word for saw there also means to appreciate. When she saw him, when she perceived him, when she appreciated him, it caused her to fall on her knees in worship, and it moved him. It moved him. I want to be someone that moves him. What about you? Horizon Church is a place that moves him because we lead in worship. And that brings me to my first point. When you're waiting in the waiting, approach him with adoration. It wasn't that Mary wasn't real about her situation. She was, but she brought her adoration before she brought her situation. You know, last time I preached, I still didn't know what was happening with my work. Had no clue. I had an interview lined up the next day, and it was for a sales role at Castle Hill. And as I was getting ready, preparing, I got in the car, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, "Switch on your message from yesterday." Okay. So I turned it on. I was driving, I was listening to it, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, "Do you remember that guy?" And I started bawling. I cried all the way to the altar call. And then when the message was over, I turned on some worship and I cried. You know, the Lord does not despise your tears. He bottles them up. I discovered that 2020 has been a gallon for me. What about you? He doesn't despise your tears. And so, of course, I tidied myself up and went for the interview, and it went really well. I didn't get it, but it went really well. But you know what? It didn't matter. Because there's one thing I learned in this 12 months, and that is there is one thing. If there's one thing I want to get good at seeking, it's His beauty. The Lord is beautiful. And when you catch a glimpse of His beauty, you cannot get enough. You want to see more. And you have the opportunity every day to grow in the revelation of Jesus. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But that part can grow bigger and bigger and bigger as we seek His beauty. Psalm 27, verse 14 in the Amplified. "One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in His presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty, the delightful loveliness, and the majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in His temple." His presence filled my car more than it has ever filled my car before, and I will never forget that moment. I will never forget it, because it helped me worship independent of the outcome. Second point is this, is when you're waiting in the waiting, stay in church. Mary was called by the Lord when she was in the house. One of the temptations when you're going through a difficult season is to leave church or look elsewhere. And we have decided, I decided as a young guy, that unless the Lord spoke to me very clearly, I was staying here. And I carried that conviction into my marriage, and that's how we have approached positioning in our lives. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15. "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Our destiny is tied to the local church. Do you know, a month after I was made redundant, we were in church and Pastor Vicky Simpson was preaching. Stacey and I received a prophetic word that day, and there was heaps in it, but one of the things she said was she saw us on a new path, a new flow, a new rhythm, the unforced rhythms of grace. And in the last year, we've moved from a busy main road in South Hurstville to a quiet cul-de-sac in Illawong. Do you know what's funny about Illawong? When I tell people I live there, they still say, where's Illawong? Do you all know where Illawong is? Good. I'm glad. I don't mind that because then it doesn't get overpopulated. Kind of stays like a little hub. Stacey was headhunted for a new role just up the road, full time. So her work had changed. Our living had changed. We bought a family car, a Tarago. Stacey nicknames it the T-Bus. I nickname it the Greek Mobile. 8-seater. So there's rooms for lots of kids. Of course, a kid's friends. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hang on, I'm just going to turn this on flight mode. Sorry. One sec. But one thing that hadn't changed was my work. A day after the interview was Tuesday, and I still had two prospects. One of them, I was in the top two being considered for a sales role. And on the same day, both those companies called me saying I was unsuccessful. So my work situation, you could say, was dead. And that night, I went to bed and I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw Pastor Brad. And Pastor Brad was sharing with me about a role that was opening up a church that he wanted me to step into. And, you know, I'm not one that's given over easily to dreams. As a Christian, I don't think I've ever heard from God in a dream. So I didn't think much of it. And I woke up that morning and I went to work. Well, I went to my first training session, my only training session for that morning. And I was driving back, and at 8 o'clock, my phone rings. Guess who it is? Pastor Brad. And Pastor Brad was the first person to wish me a happy 40th birthday. Do you know why? Because he was a day early. And even though his timing on my birthday was a little off, his timing in God was pinpoint. Thank God for pastors who are in step with the Spirit. Can we honor Pastor Brad right now and Allison? Man, so grateful. So, so grateful. And Pastor Brad was telling me about a role, of course, that he wanted me to consider. And a couple of weeks passed. And to cut a long story short, I started working here 2 weeks ago. And I have loved every single second of it. I get to work under amazing people like Pastor Deb. And I honored you in the first service. I'm going to honor you again. You know, Pastor Deb and Sam, because Sam's here for the 10:30. You had a sleep in, Sam, this morning? Yeah. I thought so. You're a beautiful man. You need your beauty sleep. Oh, you were polishing. Yeah, I did that too. Good one. You know, I'll start with Pastor Deb. Pastor Deb has been an incredible example of what it means to be faithful in every season of church life. She's been the longest serving staff member pastorally in our church. And we just want to honor you, Pastor Deb. You know, people like Pastor Deb ought to be celebrated, ought to be followed. And man, I tell you, she is sharp. I love working with her. Go ahead, And Sam, of course, Sam was instrumental in my early days as a Christian. And, you know, I remember going for kebabs in Marrickville, you know, after church. The real name for a kebab is a gyros, right? It's a gyros. So we went for a gyros in Marrickville. That was awesome, man. So much fun times. And best of all, he's a Bulldog supporter. That's really good. Who's booing? Lord, deal with that person. I get to work with amazing people like Pastor Heather. Pastor Heather, you're so much fun and you're amazing. And like I said in the first service, you are a secret weapon in our church. And man, I can't wait to see more of what the Lord does in your space. It'd be great. And Pastor Tim, I've worked with Pastor Tim for the last couple of years with Right Believing. Give Pastor Tim a hand. Like I said, if there's one word to describe Pastor Tim, it's joy. He's just such a joyful guy. I love hanging out with you, man. My brother. I love him so much. And that brings me to my third point. My third and final point is this. You need people to mobilize your miracle. Do you know when Jesus performed the miracle, when he finally raised Lazarus from the dead, it was a public deal. It was in front of Martha, Mary, and the entire house saw it. And it required the entire house to unwrap the grave clothes off Lazarus, because the way they were wrapped in those days was tight. They used to secure the limbs. They used to wrap the whole head. And when you finally receive your miracle, when you finally receive that dream man or that dream woman, you're going to need people who are further down the track in their journey in marriage and dating who can speak into and be a blessing to you. When you finally receive that miracle child, you're going to need parents to stand with you when that miracle child is keeping you up at night. You know, as a church, we are at the beginning of a decade of harvest. And there are going to be people that come into our church whom the Lord raises up who aren't even here yet. And it takes an entire church to love on them and remove the grave clothes from them, to help them see the Lord and to help them see who they really are. We need each other. I don't know where you're at with Jesus. I've got no idea. But what I do know is this. Everyone in this room has this one thing in common. We are all called by the Lord. Do you know why? Because you are called first to Him. Before you're called to anything else. You are called in relationship with Him. Jesus Christ came. He died on a cross, bearing your guilt, bearing your shame, bearing your condemnation. There is no sin too great for the Lord not to have dealt with at the cross. And so right across this place, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity who has never made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Life with Him is so much better than life without Him. I'm 40. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 21. So almost half my life I've lived with Him. It's so much better with Him. And if you're here this morning and you're like, He's not in my life, it can change from this moment. So while every eye is closed and with every head bowed, we're going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer that invites Jesus Christ into your life. Why don't you repeat these words? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God who died on the cross, bearing all my judgment, bearing all my sin, bearing all my shame. I believe that on the third day, you rose from the dead. You are alive, and I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, and as my King. In Jesus' name, amen. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed that prayer for the first time in a long time, I want you to give me a wave. The reason why I want you to give me a wave is I want to pray with you. We want to celebrate you. We want to give you a gift to help you in your next steps. So if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to give me a wave. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Great decision. Who else this morning is going to join that amazing person who has said yes to Jesus? Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you make all things new. Lord, I pray for this precious person who has made the decision to receive you. Lord, I pray that in the coming days, she will encounter you, your love, your grace, your kindness. I thank you, Lord, that the plans you have for this amazing person are for good. Plans filled with a future and a hope. Thank you, Lord. We commit this amazing person to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, can we give that amazing person a hand who put a hand up this morning? Why don't we all stand? You know, if there's a scripture that has really defined my journey over the last 12 months that I want to share with you and leave you with, it's this. How do you navigate a season of waiting? Psalm 27, verse 14 in the Passion Translation says this. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for He will never disappoint you. Lord, we just set our eyes upon you now. Lord, we worship you. We know that you're a God who never disappoints. Lord, you hold us in the palm of your hand. Lord, we thank you that in all things you work together for our good. And Father, in this moment, we just fix our eyes solely upon you. And Lord, just as you called Mary to your feet, Lord, you are calling your sons and daughters to adore the Son of the living God. Lord, right now in this moment, we fix our eyes on you. We adore you. We worship you, Lord. Come on, church. Start to worship him this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.